Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Now Spinning. Thank you all for listening in. With me today, I have...
Andy.
And Tyler.
And I'm still Simon, I think. Today, we're going to be talking about our meeting we held on the 2nd of October. And this one's a fun one. There's a lot of good songs, so I'm just going to jump straight into it. Starting off, we had Almost Had to Start a Fight by Parquet Courts. This is a band that I believe has been played a few times earlier, but this was brought in by Steve, you know, friend of the show, president of the college, president of the club. He brought this one in. This is a fun, like, post-punk, dance-punk thing. I had intended to get into them, but I didn't listen to this album until the day after this meeting. And it's very good if you're, like, a Talking Heads or Gang of Four, any of that kind of stuff. If you're a fan of that, you'll enjoy this record, I think. And there was another song by them played a little bit later that was called Normalization. That one's also very good. There was a song on this album called Free Bird 2, which I think follows up one of these songs, yeah. Which is interesting to listen to on the playlist because it says this next one's called Free Bird 2, but then it's like it just goes into a different song.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those things where you listen to the album, you'll get the full experience out of it, I think.
Yeah, I like Almost Had to Start a Fight and... Well, it's Almost Had to Start a Fight / In and Out of Patience is a good way to start a meeting, I think, especially because it's a song.
Right on. Okay.
Yeehaw.
Step on down the line here. We got Carefree Highway by Gordon Lightfoot. Tyler, you brought this one.
I love Gordon Lightfoot. It's so awesome. I thought Carefree Highway, you know, it's a good little track from Sundown. That whole trio of songs of... Watchmen's Gone, Sundown, and Carefree Highway were all three songs that I would listen to a lot back my senior year of high school, which is, you know, really cool. Bring back memories and stuff of like driving up to class at 7 in the morning. Simon, you know what I mean, because, you know, we went to school together, but in the dark and all that stuff. It's just a very good fall feel kind of song, especially with like, if you want to drive somewhere, have your hands at 10 and 2, listening to Gordon Lightfoot driving down the road and stuff. It's a very good, pulls you in right with a very, very good feel.
That's quite good. I like this song. It's a fun album. I forgot what the album's called. Sundown, I think, is the album.
Sundown,
yeah, it's a very good one. It's a fun one. But next one up, Andy, this is the one you played.
Next one, we got I'm a Believer. Why not Smash Mouth?
Not the monkeys.
No. Neil Diamond himself.
It's
the man, the myth, the legend.
It's because he wrote the song because he was a songwriter for Colgan's, Don Kirshner's little writing troupe of people that wrote all the Monkees songs. And this was one he wrote and one that Mike Nesmith was supposed to sing. But Don Kirshner and his lawyer tricked Mike Nesmith into thinking he'd record it. And turns out they just had Mickey Dolenz record it for better commercialization, which, you know, it's a really interesting kind of deal.
So I thought for the longest time that Smash Mouth was a cover of the Monkees, only until last year when I found out that no, the Monkees are a cover of none other than Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Which, now that I'm thinking about it, it's lyrically, it makes sense as Neil Diamond. But I'm going to have to say... I don't know, it's just me being Gen Z, but I kind of like the Smash Mouth version better. It's just kind of the upbeat, you know? Not to, like, diss
I
on Neil Diamond.
I was going to mention, my roommate has, Maddie, has this copy of the Shrek soundtrack on green, it's like, I think it says Swamp Green Vinyl is what the sticker on the front said, and it's got a picture of Shrek's face on, and that's like the first song on that album. So I can never hear... the Monkees version or the Neil Diamond version never without immediately thinking of that movie.
And
but
here,
that's just my fault. I don't know if that's just my problem or if that's just a general, anybody who's grown up watching Shrek a million times thing.
I mean, Gen Z, we've all watched Shrek growing up. I mean, I'm only a few months younger than Shrek, but yeah, I like it. It's I feel like, at least I'm pretty sure the Monkees did it first and then Neil Diamond did it. But
strange how that works out.
Yeah.
It's a corporate songwriting thing. It's very interesting. It's a whole interesting world of all those like 60s professional songwriters, like the Brill Building stuff, and then, you know, Neil Diamond, Carole King, that kind of stuff. It's a very fascinating thing. Like, this is, I think, When did this one get recorded? Because
this one was, I think it was 67, I believe. Yeah, because it was post Monkees, but still in the 60s.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a trend of some of these like professional songwriter people. Like, again, Carole King, like they went back and recorded a lot of their stuff that had been big hits for other people on another album. Like,
yeah,
you know, this one and then Tapestry by Carole King. But that's, I'm getting off topic though. That's little song.
Especially with all the songwriting stuff, like, if you like look at the track lists for some Monkees albums, there's only like a couple that are written by the Monkees because Don Kirshner wanted like total control over it, over the whole album. Heck, the Monkees didn't even know their second album, More the Monkees, even released until they were in a record store in Cleveland. Jeez. And they were so mad at that. And I remember hearing a story from Mike Nesmith, who's like the kind of leader. He confronted Don Kirshner and his lawyer. And, you know, was talking to him about how fed up they were about not playing their own instruments. And he punched a hole in the wall and told the lawyer, hey, that could have been your face, you know, which is kind of like cool. And then eventually they got like, I don't know, lawyers or something involved. And then on their next album, they actually played their own instruments. So hooray. And then Don Kirshner made the Archies, which is not a real band that's never existed.
Yeah, that is a whole other can of worms. Yeah. We'll open that up someday. That'd be a fun episode with Deep Dive on all like the fake bands from the 60s. Like, I mean, I'm not calling them, not the Monkees. Like, Monkees are a real band, but like, yeah, they were like, they're like, it's a fake band that kind of became a real band, if you will. Like, they were invented by a producer, but like they took their own identity, and that's fascinating.
Next up.
But speaking of a real band that does exist, though, used to exist, Sonic Youth, Cool Thing. This is a great song, great artist. I love this album a lot. I've heard a couple Sonic Youth albums. This is one of the first ones I heard. It's very good. This song, excellent. You know, I don't really have too much to say about it other than we could definitely probably do a whole episode talking about Sonic Youth because they are a very high, very influential band, very innovative. Every album they make, they're always pushing boundaries with it. It was very fascinating stuff.
I don't know. I don't have much to say about it, although, except for, I was driving down here and it was a pretty cool song to drive to.
Oh, yeah. It makes you want to speed. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
We had a couple other little alt-rock songs following this up. December by Weezer. I brought this album in for somebody else. I didn't choose the song. I barely listened to this song. I do like this album quite a bit, but I never like listened to this song by itself. Interesting Weezer choice. It's a good little song. This album, Maladroit, I personally think as far as Weezer goes, it's kind of underrated, but again, it's Weezer, so to make of that what you will. Also today, Surf Wax America got played by Weezer by the same person, but we already talked about that song like three other times in the past couple months, so we don't have a lot to say about that one.
I was trying to look it up, and I thought, you know, I swear, we've played Surf Wax America more than, like, any other Weezer song.
That is very plausible. On the other side, I think, other side of the whole alt-rock spectrum, though, we have Modest Mouse, Heart Cook's Brain, off the album The Lonesome Crowded West. This is a wonderful album. I'd say it's a easy 10 out of 10. It's very interesting, like, alt-country thing influenced. I thought the lead singer's got a very unique voice. I think it suits the material very well. This isn't my favorite song on the album. My favorite song, Trucker's Atlas. That's the song on this album that I like the most. It's like 15 minutes long, just an epic. It's a very interesting thing.
Man, more driving-related stuff today.
Yeah, it's a good driving album, I think.
I hate to pigeonhole this whole entire episode into driving, but I was like, Andy and I were listening to this playlist before the recording of this episode. And the first episode, the first seconds of Heart Cook's Brain, it was like ding, 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 ding. And I was like, that sounds like an old 2000s Ford, you know, chime.
I think that, you know, I think that's what they were doing with it, yeah. It was a 90s, like this came out in 97,
I had to like pull up a video of like old Ford door chimes, you know, 90s, 2000s, just like, and I was like, yup, yeah, that's what I thought, so you know. More driving stuff.
That's an accidental theme today. Yeah. I'm looking at the playlist now. I'm realizing that there's a couple other songs on here.
Especially with the
later on
next songs that I played. I mean, I played... Okay, so at the meeting, we had the introduction. Steve was like, okay, thank you so much for coming. The only rules we got are, you know, play songs that are welcoming, that, you know, welcome people and all this stuff. And I meant to play Run Like Hell because that was a song, like, I drive to. If I'm feeling upset or something, I'll blast Run Like Hell.
That's a good song. Yeah.
Yeah, but I accidentally shot it over a little bit too far and played Waiting for Worms. And I asked Lucas, I was like, hey, should I just move this back to Run Like Hell or should I just let it play? He's like, oh, let it play. And having, you know, Steve's words echo and it's like, make sure you play music that's welcoming and Waiting for Worms playing. I was like, oh man, I hope I don't get in trouble.
That's an interesting one. I don't think you're not getting in trouble for that one.
Yeah,
that's an
interesting choice. We're recording and talking about it right now here, mid-October. So, I mean, it's a very interesting concept, the whole wall thing. I mean, Simon, I heard that you listened to
it.
I did listen to the wall, and you didn't like it, which was kind of surprising.
I did not like it. I just felt like I probably got to watch the movie or something to fully appreciate the concept. I think there's a lot of good songs on it. Like, you know, this one's good.
You said like the ones that aren't
directly connected to the concept. The ones that are like less heavy on like the storytelling of it, I like those more just because I feel like I can listen to those on their own.
I feel like you might like Animals though.
Maybe, I'll probably listen to I gotta finish the Pink Floyd deep dive. It's on my list.
I like The Wall. You know, I think it's just a profound, you know, exploration of like self-destructiveness and stuff like that. Lots of people have that stuff.
Oh,
I know
definitely.
I've got that stuff. It's the composition is great. It's got some of Roger Waters' best lyrics, you know, at least in my opinion. Sometimes less is more, but, you know, I totally think you'd probably like Animals more.
I will get back to you when I finish the Pink Floyd thing. I got a list story. I was going to say also one little tidbit of trivia I found out when I was doing research for this is that Waiting for the Worms and a couple other songs on the wall feature Bruce Johnston from the Beach Boys for some reason.
Hold on, let me...
And, like, I heard that, like, the story was, like, they wanted to get all the Beach Boys on there, but they canceled the day of for whatever reason because they had to work on their own album because they thought it would be better. And, well, it was not a very good album. But
I think he does... I don't have it with me, but I'm pretty sure it said Bruce Johnston, you know, vocals, backing vocals, track 21 or something.
He's on a couple of them. He's on a couple of different ones.
Also, that just came to mind. I've got a friend out in Essex, William, shout out, man. But you know how Britain's having all those protests and stuff? And he told me that they were like playing, you know, Get Back and Waiting for Worms, blasting it out because the whole thing. Because I was telling him about, you know, I accidentally played Waiting for Worms. I just heard that yesterday.
Albeit
in a more British-y accent.
That's an interesting song choice. But well, I don't know if I'm not qualified to unpack that on this wonderful little vinyl podcast. But rolling along, played a song by a Detroit band called Death, which the song was called Let the World Turn off of their album For the Whole World to See, which technically it wasn't an album that came out when they were around in 75. It was like a after-the-fact thing. There was a couple years, 10 years ago or so, there was a big documentary about the band Death, how they were like very ahead of their time in the punk world. Like they dropped a couple singles, which were basically fully formed punk rock a full year before bands like the Ramones and other bands from that CBGB scene in New York took off. And this one is an interesting song, I think, because it's not just a straight punk song. This song, and as well as the whole album, they incorporate a lot of like almost like a funk thing, as well as like a soul influence. And I think that really makes it stand out compared to other like punk stuff from the era. The whole record, though, I was searching for this album for months and months and months until I finally found it. It's kind of a hard one to find, in my experience, but it's very much worth it if you're a punk fan, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, if you're interested in the history of Michigan music. Definitely check this group out. I wouldn't say they're influential, but they were ahead of the curve, and they're just now in these past like few years getting the respect that they deserved at the time. It's very good.
Next up, Moondance, Van Morrison. That's great. My great uncle Dennis gave me that record from his collection. I just thought it'd be very cool to play, considering this meeting was on a 10-2, and the song goes, you know, under October skies and stuff like that. And it's October. You know, this isn't the Halloween meeting, so I felt like I could actually play it. You know, I thought it'd be fun. I like all those autumn-y kind of songs, like stuff by Gordon Lightfoot, or Moon Dance, or Dancing in the Moonlight.
Yeah, you wanted me to bring that in, so we have, like, Moon Dance and then Dancing in the Moonlight back to back.
I thought that would be pretty cool. But we've played Dancing in the Moonlight before, and we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good song. Again, Van Morrison... I'm going to get to him soon, I swear. He's been on the list for a while. He's one of the best songwriters, I think, from what I've heard of him. He's got very consistent, remarkably consistent throughout, like, just 60s, 70s, even into, like, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
He was consistently putting out great stuff, and that's not something you can say for a lot of artists, especially, like, contemporary singer-songwriters from that era. He's definitely, you know.
Oh, the 70s troubadours.
A lot of consistency, yeah. He held on a lot longer than some other ones did.
Yeah, I like Moondance, and Domino is a really good song that you'll hear on, like, on 106.3 Mac FM, where they play lots of yacht rock and stuff, and Simon's got neuron activation for Simon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, technically up in the Youp.
Youp adjacent.
Yeah. And third Van Morrison track I really like that lots of people know is, of course, Brown Eyed Girl, which is really nice.
That's a fun little one.
I hate to brag, but I have that on 45.
No way.
Yes,
congratulations.
Way. Yeah.
That's a good one to have in 45. I've never actually found a Van Morrison 45 in my life, but if I found one, I would probably buy it.
I mean, we all have 45s that the other is probably looking for. You have Dancing in the Moonlight. Yes. I've been looking for that for years.
Found it at a...
garage sale,
I found it at a Goodwill.
Oh, Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah, I agree with Simon. That is surprising.
People always post, like, online, they're like, I found this stuff at Goodwill, and it's, like, one of the best albums I've ever been looking for years and years, I go to Goodwill and I look and it's like
Christian stuff.
Mitch Miller's greatest hits, singing the songs with Mitch Miller. Occasionally, like, there'll be one really good album I like, but I open it up and there's no inner sleeve and it's like cut in half and there's just like a piece of the vinyl missing and I just got to put it back.
Somebody takes a bite out of it?
Yeah.
Like a dog.
Pretty much.
So. Yeah.
Oh boy.
But occasionally, though, if you spend enough time digging at one of those places, you'll find a real gem, but it's... It requires commitment. I'll say that. It requires a lot of commitment.
Yes, very much so.
This particular Goodwill actually had a whole dedicated section to stuff like records, and I saw a bit of cassette tapes, even like these 8-tracks. They had actual 8-tracks, which you can't even play anymore because the machines required to play those things are no longer a thing.
I've got a couple 8-track tapes. Of course, they're Beach Boys, but you know, they're 8-track tapes.
Yeah,
very good. But moral of the story, be careful when you search for things in Goodwill. Even if you do find something good, you have to make sure you open it up, look in there, make sure it's intact, it's not the wrong record.
Yeah. I feel like any retail store, I actually was a victim to this. I found a...
It was that Bobby Darin
Barbie
record.
Yes. It was... Yes. Like, had a bunch
it
of
was
things
the,
like Beyond
it was
the
story
Sea.
Story of Bobby Darin.
Yeah.
And it had a Splish Splash and Beyond the Sea and Mac the Knife and all this stuff. And, you know, he's like, oh, I have this record. And he showed it to me and you pulled that out. It was something completely different.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Completely Trojan horse.
Yeah. Anywhere, not just Goodwills or stuff.
I found this at a secondhand store.
Always check your records, even if it's at record stores.
They're a lot better about it, though.
Yeah. I was out in Grand Ledge and saw Endless Flight by Leo Sayer. And I opened up, you know, nothing wrong with John Denver, but I open up. Put the vinyl on my record player. I go to where, you know, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing is. I drop It's John Denver. And I already had the 45. You know, I just like the album cover itself. Yeah.
That's an interesting exchange. I don't know. But rolling along, though, after Van Morrison, we had Queensryche. That's interesting. I've heard of them, but I never heard a song by them, like, knowingly until that day.
So this was a gift to me, and they are complete 80s. Like, the sound, the look, everything. I brought them in because I'm usually the person that brings in mainstream artists, mainstream songs, but this is one of my more obscure artists, and apparently, despite the umlaut, they are an American band, and they are one of the defining bands of progressive metal.
That's fascinating.
That is interesting.
I gotta get into that. It was a good album. Good song. I think I haven't listened to the whole album yet, but I definitely want to check it out.
If in terms of like metal and stuff, I'm more of a fan of like new metal and metal from like the late 90s and early 2000s. You know, stuff I'd hear on another radio station on 98.7, The Rockin' Eagle, when I was a kid up at the cabin, stuff like that. But metal is probably one of my a favorite genre of mine.
Yeah. My favorite part about it is that one of the guys, I don't know if you flip it up, flip the thing on the back, one of the guys looked like Elvis with way too much eyeliner.
That's the 80s for you. Everybody looked like that in the 80s, I think. Any like metal band, I think, at least. But good album, check it out. Moving along, I just want to hit on a couple more things here. We had two songs from the album Apostrophe by Frank Zappa. Very good album. It's one of his essential albums, I think, personally. Interesting songs. I don't know what the instrument he's playing on either of these are, but it's very, just like, listen to the song, like, you know, St. Alfonso's Pancake Breakfast, and then Father Oblivion are the two songs. It's like, starts out with like this, I'm not entirely sure about what the name of it is, but it's some kind of like bell instrument. I know I'll figure it out the second after I finish recording this, and then I'll sound like an idiot now, but it's a very unique sound, very unique sounding stuff. You don't really hear it in rock or jazz for that matter, which is just kind of, this album definitely jumps between both a lot.
I'm kind of warming up to Frank Zappa, to be honest. Somebody recommended me like this doo-wop Frank Zappa album. Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty good.
No, he was very inspired by that. Like when he was, I think it was like when he was starting out, he was like a big fan of that stuff, played in a lot of bands like that. But as he like moved on, it, you know, that was one of his foundational influences. But yeah.
Speaking of doo-wop and all that jazz, we got the Beach Boys next. Kiss Me Baby is another song that I closely associate, an album I actually closely associate with autumn, the Beach Boys Today, which is brown like leaves and they're all wearing sweaters on the cover, even though the picture was taken like in springtime. But it's very, very autumny.
I agree with that.
It's like very much an autumn vibe and feel for that one. And Beach Boys Today has to be like one of my favorite albums of theirs, I'd have to say.
I agree. It's very good. It's one of their best.
Next up.
This one, I brought this one, I think, Speedway by Black Midi. Black Midi is a band that we've talked about at length on another episode we did here. This song, though, is definitely on, like, the calmer end of their music. They make a lot of, like, very, like, heavy, dense, like, manic music. They're going crazy, like, insane time signatures. Very fast music. This one's more laid back and chill, but it's interesting in the way that, like, it's laid back, but feels like it's about to, like, jump into something at any moment, basically. That's what most of this music is, this album. You know, it jumps between, like, these, like, really dense rhythmic sections into being, like, quieter, like, building tension. But this song, the entire thing, it's, like, it feels like it's going to explode at any moment, but it doesn't really explode until, like, you know, the next song starts. But yeah. I quite like this one. It shows that, you know, this band, they're capable of, you know, even on their first album, they were capable of jumping between the quieter stuff and the louder stuff, which they really develop more on their next two albums. And then it continues on to Jordy Greep's solo stuff, which I've talked about at some point on here. We'll probably talk more about it later.
Speaking of Speedway stuff and speeding right along here, I Can't Drive 55, Sammy Hagar. Mm-hmm. It's about the national maximum speed limit law where all highways and stuff were set to 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, last time we did this podcast, you were showing me this song. Like, I can't wait to play this thing.
Yeah, it's great. But adding more to the driving thing, the meeting was on 10-2, where your hands should be on a wheel. But anyway, last song we played was George Harrison, Run of the Mill. Another excellent fall track. I feel like we've talked about George Harrison a ton here, and we could do an entire episode on George Harrison, be quite honest.
Stay tuned. We might do that.
But
that wraps us up, I think. That's all the songs that we have stuff to talk about anyway. But if you're interested in seeing this whole playlist or any other playlists from any of our past meetings, you can check out our website. Like I said, you can find all our past playlists there, past podcast episodes, meeting dates, meeting themes, any and all information you'll ever need to know about the Vinyl Record Club. It'll all be located there. It'll be linked along with the show. Thank you all for tuning in, and we hope to see you next time.
Yep,
bye-bye.
Thank you very much.